Well, I was thinking on what I should give the message on, and because it's New Year's Eve and we're done with this year in just a few more hours, I figured, well, you know, let's look up New Year's resolutions. So Wikipedia says, a New Year's resolution is a tradition most common in the Western Hemisphere, but also found in the Eastern Hemisphere, in which a person resolves to change an undesirable trait or behavior to accomplish a personal goal or otherwise improve their life. And I got to thinking about that. Isn't that the sanctification process? Isn't that something we're supposed to be doing every day? You know? That's what each and every one of us, after we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, that's how we should be living our lives. So I decided to do it on New Year's resolutions. Ish. As I was searching through God's Word, one of the first things I came across was Jesus said, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't he first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to accomplish it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees you will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and was not able to finish it. So the first thing we need to do is come up with a plan. Can we do the sanctification process? No, we can't, can we? So then should we just quit? No, because the Bible says in many places, my favorite one is Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So don't try and go through this on your own. We need help. But you know what? We have one in us who is greater than he is in the world. We can accomplish it all. The next thing I came across was Colossians 3:23-24. Whatever you do, work heartily as unto the Lord and not for man, knowing that from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as a reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. So the second thing I came across is we're not only supposed to have a plan, we're supposed to work at this with all of our heart. This is something that we're not like, well, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I'm going to heaven. We're good. That's not what the good Lord wants us to. We are supposed to be becoming more like Christ each and every day. And this is not something that we're supposed to take lightly. We're supposed to have a plan, but not only just a plan. We're supposed to be committed to this plan. Don't take this plan lightly. As I was doing the research on New Year's resolutions, they say that out of the people who make a New Year's resolution, it's less than 1% who actually accomplish their New Year's resolutions. And most of them make it until about January 5th through January 7th. You know, that's pretty sad. We make a New Year's resolution and we can't make it a week. You know? This is not how God wants us to commit to this, okay? After a week, you're not supposed to be giving up. This is something we're supposed to have a plan, and we are supposed to be committed to it and work heartily as unto him. The next thing I came across is, don't want to do this on our own. We need some advice. In Proverbs 15:22, it says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Look around the room. There is a lot of advisors here. We as Christians, brothers and sisters, are supposed to be helping each other in the sanctification process. And we are supposed to be accepting help from others in the sanctification process. Don't try and do it on your own. When we're hitting some place where we're starting to struggle, go to that brother or sister and ask them, I am struggling. Can you give me some advice here? Can you give me some counsel? Can you just give me some strength and encouragement here? The next thing I came across, and this is very important, we have to commit it to the Lord. If we're trying to do this on our own, we're going to fail. We need to commit to him. Proverbs 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your paths. Proverbs 16:9, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. This should be our greatest prayer. that we are in God's will. We are committed to doing God's will. How many of you here can say, I commit to doing God's will, the sanctification process, as much as I do anything you list? My job, my family, working on my marriage. Because if God isn't number one, the most important thing in your life, you're going to struggle and fail on everything else. We have to make him first. So how committed are you to that? Are you committed till January 5th? We need to do a little bit more than that. The next thing I came across is we shouldn't be so afraid of failure that we don't even do it. It's like, you know, I can't really do this. I probably can't even make it till January 5th. So why even bother? That's not what God wants us to do. Most of you that know my story know that I've had some pretty big struggles in my life. But you know what? Looking back, I grew closer to him on each and every one of them. It could be that the process that God wants you to go through is the process. Maybe that is the lesson that you need to learn. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 4. This is Solomon, wise man. In the days of prosperity, be happy. But in the days of adversity, consider and learn. God has made one as well as the other. So when we're in good times, praise God. When we're in rough times, learn the lesson. Because you don't want to take the lesson over if it's a rough one. So learn it the first time so you don't have to take that class over. And then I know all of you love this verse, James 1, 2, 3, 4. Consider it all joy, my brother, when any of you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith develops endurance, but endurance must finish its work so that you may be complete, not lacking anything. We need to learn these lessons. And I don't know about you guys, but the lessons I learned from the School of Hard Knocks, I usually don't forget them. Those are the ones you usually remember. But when God runs us through these trials and stuff, maybe that's what it takes for us to learn that lesson. Maybe that's what it takes to change that one thing that God really wants to change in your life. Are you willing to consider it all joy? Now that is a good hard lesson to learn right there. Consider it all joy. So what is this sanctification process? It's not salvation. This is not a salvation issue. If you believe in Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, you will go to heaven. The sanctification process is we are supposed to be each and every day becoming more and more like Christ. That is the sanctification process. But there is a problem with each and every one of us. We're sinners. We have that pollution in our lives. So the sanctification process is removing those pollutions, removing that sin from our lives, and replacing it with Christ's character to be more like him. One of the first things I want to talk about is in 1 John 2, 15 and 16. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all the things of the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, pride of life, is not from the Father, but is of the world. We are bombarded continuously and constantly with those pollutions in our lives. And unless we really concentrate and struggle on those to remove those pollutions, they're going to come into our lives. We have sin all around us. And so we have to battle that. If we just stay neutral, those pollutions are going to come into our lives. the commandments, the first one that he gave us. In Exodus 20, verse 3, you shall not have any other gods before me. A god is anything that you sacrifice to. Whatever you sacrifice your time into, whatever you sacrifice your energy to, whatever you sacrifice your money to, we can make those gods. We need to be careful about that. The things of this world. Psalms 101, verse 3. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. That's not just necessarily saying it's anything that is evil. No, if it is not profitable, what good is it? Why are we wasting our time on it? All we are is letting those pollutions into our lives. And we have a lot of those. You know, we have all kinds of different entertainment, be it anywhere from watching the TV to video games or whatever it is. We don't want to be putting those things before us and making them a god. Psalms 119, verse 37. Turn my eyes from looking at these worthless things. We all know that Hollywood is producing more and more violent and vile stuff, more and more pollution that we could take in. You just look at on TV nowadays, the advertisements that they have. The advertisements that they have nowadays, 50, 60 years ago, that was considered pornography, you know? And so we are constantly having these things before us, always. And if we do that and make them our god, then all that garbage in is garbage out. So we don't want to be bringing all those pollutions into our lives. You know, what about books and that kind of stuff? On Acts 19 to 20, and the number of those who practiced magical arts brought their books and burned them in the sight of all, that they counted the value and found it to be over 50,000 pieces of silver, so that the word of God continued to increase and prevailed. We need to remove these pollutions from our lives so that it doesn't hinder our growth, so that it doesn't hinder the growth of God's kingdom. We need to remove these pollutions so that they are not drawing us down and polluting us. We need to be very careful what we see, because Matthew 6, 22, the eyes is the lamp to the body. It is very important what our eyes see, because that is a direct lamp of what our soul is and what goes into our body. What about bad speech? Matthew 15, 18 and 19. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart and is defiling. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. It's not necessarily cuss words that we need to watch out for, but also about gossip, also about slandering other people. Our hatred comes out of our mouth. I mean, that's when the first things that we do, you know, when somebody makes us angry, cuts us off, or we hit our thumb with a hammer or whatever, what comes out of you? What comes out of you is what is in your heart. Is what comes out of you good? Or what comes out of you is bad? So anybody who wants to know how their heart is, go home, smash your thumb with a hammer, and see what happens. Maybe it's the influence in your life. Proverbs 13 and 20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companions of fools will suffer for it. Who are you hanging out with? Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't hang out with non-Christians, because we are. We're supposed to go out and be a light to the world. But our core group, the ones that we get advice from, the ones that influence in our lives, we need to be careful about those. We want to make sure that it's godly influence, godly advice that they're giving us. If not, then those might be the ones that we shouldn't be accepting counsel from. because we have to be very careful about being led astray. 2 Peter 3:17. Take care that you are not carried away with the errors of the lawless people and lose our stability. When we get that bad advice from others and stuff, we can say, oh, I'm a strong Christian. That's no big deal. After we're continued bombarded by this, slowly start getting weaker and weaker. The pollutions in our lives will make us weak and lead us astray. We need to be careful. But even more important than that is make sure that you're not the one who are leading others astray. Jesus said in Matthew 18:7, but woe to the one that brings temptation. So we really need to be careful about that. I don't know about you guys, when Jesus said woe, that's pretty important. I don't want Jesus's woes. Don't judge. Matthew 7 verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. The sanctification process is us. The sanctification process is not, oh, I need to go help them with their sanctification process. That is not the sanctification process. The sanctification is me. It's between me and God. You and God, that's your problem. That's not mine. So we need to be very careful about judging. James 1, 14 and 15. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. Then desires, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. A thing I want to point out with this one is each of our struggles is different. The thing that I struggle with, you might not. The thing that you struggle with, I might not. So in all situations, we need to be considerate and loving towards each person because you don't know what their struggle is. You know, you might be looking at that person and go, what's their problem? Why are they having such a rough day? Their struggle is different than yours. The thing that is going on, you know, the slippery roads or whatever, might be nothing to you. But to somebody else, that could be really, really scary and terrifying. And granted, that's not a super good example, but we always need to be considerate because we don't know what the other person is struggling with. Because they don't struggle the same. We all have different struggles. So what is the thing in your life, because all of our struggles are different, what is the thing in your life that God has been talking to you that needs to be removed? If you don't know, ask him. But be careful. You ask him, he will tell you. And you might not like what you hear. But you know what? That is what we do need to hear. So ask him and listen. We need to accept Jesus' cleaning. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of the body and of the spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of the Lord. We need to remove these things from our lives so that there is room for Christ in us. Take and remove these pollutions, these sins from our lives, and then replace them with God and his love, his Son. It's not if, it's when, because we will. We will fail. We will struggle. When January 3rd comes and it's like, oh, I've already broke my New Year's resolution. Take heart. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You know, the good Lord is never going to say, oh, that's it. I've tried and tried. I'm done. He never will say that. He will never, ever say, oh, really? You failed again? He will never do that. His mercies are new every morning. They never, never end. So when you screw up, ask for his forgiveness. He is faithful and will forgive us. So when January 5th comes around and you're like, oh man, I blew that one, don't worry about it. Get down on your knees. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. And he goes, that's all right. He will encourage us. He will strengthen us so that we can get up and go. Because his mercies are new every single morning. There's a lot of times that I pray, you know, like I'm going to go to bed early because I messed up so bad today. But you know what? God says his mercies are new every morning, so I need a new day. There are some times that we just need to do that. We need to put on his love. Colossians 3:14. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. God's love is what we need. That is how we walk with him. And the very next one, Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, to which indeed you are called, and be thankful. If we put on love, we will know his peace. And let me tell you, there is nothing better than knowing his peace. But in everything, thank him, including in James. In trials, thank him. In everything, thank him, because he is faithful and just. His mercies are new every morning. We're supposed to tell others about this. We're supposed to help others with the sanctification process. We're supposed to tell them about the good news. But I want to put a little bit of a caution in there in Galatians 6, verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in spiritual gentleness, keeping watch on yourselves, lest you be tempted. All of us struggle with something different. I encourage you to find a brother or a sister to be that one, that encourager, that helps you, that doesn't necessarily struggle with the same thing you are. Yes, have that brother or sister that can empathize with you and relate to you, but when it comes down to that one that needs to hold you accountable, try and find one that doesn't struggle with the exact same thing you are, because you don't want to lead them astray when you fall astray. And we need to be careful when we go and talk to somebody and help them with the sanctification process. We got to do it in spiritual gentleness. And we have to do it in such a way that we do not fall away ourselves or push them away. So my question is to you, here in just a couple more hours, this year is gone. In 2018, what are you doing for the Lord? What are your plans for the sanctification process? What have you asked him that he wants you to do in 2018? It's not all about, oh, in 2018, I'm going to get that promotion. 2018, I'm going to buy that bigger house. 2018, I want to get that fancy red Lamborghini I've always wanted. That's not what we're supposed to do. Those are all meaningless. They're just going to get burned away. In 2018, what does God want you to do? 2018, what is that thing in your life that God wants you to remove? 2018, what is that thing that is not in your life that God wants in your life? Ask him what 2018 is supposed to be. And then go out there and put your whole heart into it. Work heartily as unto him, because he is the one that we get our reward from. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for being such a loving and merciful and gracious Father. Please show each and every one of us how we may best grow in you this year. Please show each and every one of us how we may help others, how we may work for your kingdom. Thank you, God, for 2017 and never giving up on us. Thank you for the growth that you did in us in 2017. And God, we just ask that you bless us and grow us in 2018. And we ask and say this all in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior's name. Amen. This little greenish thing is the bulletin. Tells us what's going on. A couple of highlights. Men's breakfast is this next Saturday at Suncrest Family Worship. January the 28th is our annual church meeting. And there's a whole bunch of other things in there, stuff for men, stuff for women, stuff for kids. Juana's is starting up Wednesday. Go ahead and read it. There's a lot of good stuff in here. Have a good day.